Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Trey Wallace from OutKick. Trey, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. Doing good. Just getting closer to interesting slate of games on Saturday, I guess.
Yep, no, that's certainly one word for it. But college football season is upon us, thank God. So we've almost made it, Trey. Trey, I want to start on the Vols and specifically the Brew McCoy situation and his eligibility. Still no answer on that for the Vols as they're a week away now from their opening game against Ball State. How did we get to this point, and what sort of a resolution, if any, do you see for Brew McCoy as they move forward here?
I think you got to this point because you look at a player, you know, like Brew McCoy, who made the move over to Knoxville from USC, and you know, the NCAA looked at it, and USC kind of looked at it too, as you know, he made that pit stop in Austin, Texas, you know, before going back to USC. He only went there for the spring. And I think when we all know the one-time transfer rules that are out there and whatnot, and then you have graduate transfers, which is a completely different category. And now we're sitting here with Tennessee, where they're in a situation where, you know, they were looking for a little bit more help out of USC, I think, over the first couple months of summer, and that didn't come. And now you're in a predicament where we're sitting here Thursday morning, and the young man is not eligible. And talking with a bunch of people about this around the Southeastern Conference, compliance officials, there is a little bit of an understanding when it comes to, you know, this form that each school has to sign off on, the no participation opportunity form. And Tennessee's in a spot right now where, yes, USC could have signed that piece of paper, and then it all been done with. And he'd have been immediately eligible and he could play. But NCAA is now looking into it because Tennessee had to go that route with their waiver process on this. And, you know, the biggest thing about this whole situation is that they needed USC to cooperate with the waiver process. And I think, you know, as of last weekend, I think USC finally started getting involved a little bit more when it comes to the waiver process for Brew McCoy. But, you know, I think one of the misconceptions is, you know, that Lincoln Riley has something to do with it. Lincoln Riley doesn't have anything to do with this. I think this is a USC administration problem. I think their counsel, you know, has probably told them, hey, you know, don't sign any type of documents if you don't feel comfortable. And then Tennessee looks at it as, okay, well, you guys told us that you guys are going to sign a document. We're not going to have to deal with all this mess, and he would be cleared and ready to go. So we sit here on a Thursday, and you know how the NCAA is. It's a waiting game, you know. Could he be eligible, you know, this afternoon here in 30 minutes, potentially? But now, you know, they're having to go back and forth between two schools, USC and Tennessee, and now we sit in a little bit of a tricky spot.
Okay, so it's still as simple, Trey, as someone at USC signs this and it's over. Is that right?
That's correct. I mean, that's correct. Mike Bone, AD, can sign that form and it would be done. He would be eligible once they sent that over to all the correct parties. But there is language in that form, if you've read it, or maybe USC doesn't feel comfortable. You know, did he leave USC in good standing? Academically, was he in good standing when he left? I'm just throwing a couple of the clauses out there to you. So, I mean, you know, there a little bit of me says, okay, I kind of understand what USC is doing by hoping the NCAA. Here's what it really comes down to. So USC is hoping that the NCAA makes this decision real quick because then they can come out smelling really good out of this by saying, oh, well, we participated in the waiver process, so we're good to go on that front. That's pretty much what they're hoping for right now after kind of dragging their feet a little bit with this whole process from May to right now, I guess, yeah.
Okay, so if they do sign it, can this come back on them? if they, I mean, because of the language, like, is there some sort of a potential ramification for them if what everything the form says is not accurate and they signed it?
I mean, yeah, and that's why you're seeing their general counsel is telling them not to sign it. So, you know, it's one of the, like, I'll give you an example right now. The director of athletics, Mike Bowen, has to sign this form, and one of the clauses in there is, was student athlete no longer given an opportunity to participate, practice, or compete by NCAA bylaws, or was not dismissed from the team or institution for any reason within the student athlete's control, was athletically eligible and in good standing with the team at the time of transfer. That number three, that one sticks out to me because Brew McCoy was suspended in 2021, but he was fighting with USC to, I guess, either A, get eligible to play and get the suspension lifted, but also there were no charges or anything along those lines. Nothing came of the Title IX. Nothing came of the legal situation when it comes to the criminal charges. So that's the argument that's being made over the last, you know, 3 months with this in regards to him. And I think that we're cutting it a little bit close as the season draws closer.
Trey Wallace from Outkick on with us here on Robbie and Rex. So Trey, that part of the discussion aside, we are a week away from Tennessee taking the field at this point. What sort of a team and sort of a group do you think Josh Heupel could have this year heading into his second year?
You know, I think offensively, I think you can see this team, you know, take the next step. Look, it's going to be hard to replace a guy like Bayless Jones Jr. when it comes to special teams and what he did with the receiving corps. But I think offensively, I think they have enough tools around Hendon Hooker. I think with the backfield, you know, Jabari Small, Jalen Wright, can Dylan Sampson, you know, and Justin Williams, you know, take that next step as a freshman, you know, and be somebody reliable. So offensive line-wise, I think they're in a good spot too. Like, this feels like a team that if they can get the middle ground of their defense out of them, and I'm talking, okay, you know, get off the field, hold the team to, you know, 24, 28 points, you know, in somehow get after the quarterback. You know, the biggest thing this year to me is let's see what Juwan Mitchell has at linebacker. Let's see what he really has once he gets in the game at Tennessee and he's free of any type of injury. You know, at the moment, line him up beside Jeremy Banks and let them go. You look at the secondary, there's a couple, you know, it's deep, but talent-wise, how deep is it? And I think that's going to be the big question for this year. And also, you know, Robbie, depth along the defensive line is always key. And Rodney Gardner's trying to build that up. You know, I think we all know that Tyler Barron and Byron Young are going to come off the edges and Tennessee will be fine in that category, but it's about the interior defensive line and having enough bodies to get in and off the field when you're worn down, because Josh Heupel's not slowing down his offense for his defense. I think we all understand that and see that. So now you're in a spot, you know, does Tim Banks' defense take the next step in 2022? I think that's the big question. But, you know, to me, this is an 8-9 win football team. And if they upset somebody, I mean, you're right at that 9 win mark. So, you know, I just look at Tennessee overall as a group that is going to score a lot of points. Can't afford the injuries. Luckily, they have a backup quarterback in Joe Milton that at least has some experience. And what seems to be, in my opinion, is kind of stepped up his game from last year. So it's all going to be about what Josh Heupel does on offense. But the squad looks like they have some talent this year.
Our listeners are going to be very excited that you just brought up Joe Milton, Trey. I have already declared that he is Tennessee's starting quarterback for week one of next season, which a lot of people are just
Rex Rhodes' biggest fan, Trey.
I don't. That's the crazy part. Like, I think it's going to come down to, like, Taven Jackson and Joe Milton. And I don't know if Nico is going to be a starting quarterback, you know, immediately. Like, I'm sure the people that, you know, cast checks probably hoping that he's a starting quarterback immediately. But You know, I think it could come down to where this kid actually played the smart game and could potentially, you know, get behind handed. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm just saying I would put money in a pool with you, Joe, if you wanted to and make that bet.
See, that the support is growing. I'm telling you, Mike. I think Mike Wilson is on this train too. So let's just keep it rolling down the tracks. I love it.
We'll do it. I'm sure you can complete the long ball now. We're good.
Yeah, no question about it. So, Trey, you know, Tennessee aside, as you look at the SEC this year, obviously, you know, Alabama and Georgia are the overwhelming favorites. Who do you think is the third best team in the SEC this year? Who do you think it ends up being at the end of the season?
Man, you know, Jimbo Fisher's praying that it's them. You know, it's tough for me. I think third best overall. I mean, it could be a tie between, you know, Arkansas, A&M, in my opinion, for potentially third best. I want to see Kentucky. You know, I want to see them prove it this year. You know, Kentucky's got that week two game against Florida. And they have to go down there without Chris Rodriguez. You know, that's intriguing to me because that could be somewhere where Florida is, you know, decent enough coming off that Utah game. Maybe you catch them slipping. You know, but overall, you know, it's time for it is time for Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M to be a team that's fighting. I remember the COVID year. Okay, I do, but also. You know, this is a roster that shouldn't have four losses on the record like last season. You know, they win a big game and then they drop a game at Mississippi State at home. Like, I want to see some kind of consistency out of this quarterback room. I think last year it was thrown out of whack because James King went down. They had to roll with Zach Calzada, who honestly might be the third string quarterback at Auburn this year. So I look at Texas A&M and I think they can be that team, but then over there I look at Arkansas and I look at their schedule and I look at KJ Jefferson. And, you know, the biggest component to me about Arkansas in 2022 was that they had Barry Odom return and Kendall Bras. You just don't see that a lot, especially Barry Odom and him running that defense, you know, with linebacker bumper pull. I just, you know, Arkansas is a team that I think is going to be hanging around the top 25 all season long. I think they're going to beat, you know, somebody maybe they're not supposed to this season. And look, they opened the season up with Cincinnati. I don't think that should be that big of a problem for them in Fayetteville. But it's all going to come down to that week four matchup in Texas A&M and Arkansas and Arlington and Jerry's World. Man, that could set up a crazy year in the SEC West. So I'm kind of looking right now at Arkansas, Texas A&M. Let's see what Kentucky can do.
Trey Wallace from OutKick, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Trey, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning.
Guys, thanks so much for having me. Enjoy the first weekend of college football.
Absolutely. You as well. Trey Wallace, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Speaking of our phone line, I got a pair of tickets to see Spoon at Ryman Auditorium on Sunday, September 4th. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Spoon at the Ryman Auditorium on Sunday, September 4th. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063, the game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Trey Wallace for joining us in the last segment. Joe, it's a wild day so far on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Wild day.
Well, I'm a little bit freaked out here, so I'm just going to read this to you guys, and maybe we can figure out this mystery. So JD in Nashville, who participates a fair amount on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, sent me a text exchange. He put a text exchange on there. So I'm just going to read the text exchange. So this is him. This is him starting it. Quote, Joe is to the Wall Street Journal as Jared is to the Inquirer. Then the response, LOL, okay, what does that mean, though? Then his response, it means you're usually well thought out and researched, and Jared takes some inane detail and extrapolates to some crazy conclusion, LOL. And the response is, well, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Hope you have a great day. And then his response, JD's response is, you too. Love the show. Keep it up. And then the person he's, the Joe he's texting says, thanks, man. What show are you talking about, though? And then JD says, ha ha ha, I just realized I'm talking to Joe. I'll bleep out the last name. Not the other Joe on my phone. Sorry about that, LOL. It's a sports talk show that I listen to while I'm driving. And then the other Joe says, ha ha, okay.
Wait,
JD
what?
In Nashville. Who are you, JD in Nashville? Do you actually have my number in your phone? And are you like, is JD in Nashville an alias? Are
Maybe.
You my mom? Who are you? You need to reveal yourself now. I read this. I'm like, what in the hell is going on right now in the text line?
Yeah. It's a wild day.
Thanks for the compliment, though, and the insult at Jared's expense.
Yes, I mean, it was no question.
Fun reading that.
It was. Look, let me just say this. I love you people on the text line. I do. I really do. Like, the text line is part of what makes our show very fun. We've had a lot of fun with you all on the text line. Some of y'all drive me nuts today. I just got to be honest with you. This Tannehill discussion is driving me nuts today. It really is. I got a text that you know, put up the Mariota greater than Tannehill sign, and now I'm in like a legitimate argument with this person about how Marcus Mariota is not better than Ryan Tannehill. You know, one of the things they said was Mariota made the Titans better. They haven't won a playoff game without him on the roster. Mariota elevated the Titans. Tannehill has crippled them. Anyway, I'll stop for now. We did not stop after that. And my response was, you know, they won playoffs games after Mariota was benched. He was not the quarterback. Ryan Tannehill was. I was like, oh, my God. It's unbelievable. There are people out there that legitimately believe Marcus Mariota is better than Tannehill. What are we doing?
I think he's got a great point. You know, had Derrick Henry decided to throw it out to Mariota instead of to Corey Davis in Baltimore, that momentum from Mariota's touchdown probably gets them the win at Kansas City. So I'm with that texture. Yeah, great point.
Look, this is the second time today that I've had to defend Ryan Tannehill via the text line. And look, we were hard on Tannehill after the playoff game last year. I think we know. I mean, look, I said before the season in our like Call Your Shot Friday that Malik Willis will be the starting quarterback next year. I don't know if I believe that anymore, by the way. But here we are today. I'm just having to defend Ryan Tannehill left and right. Like, all of a sudden, he's turned into Rusty Smith out there slinging the ball around for the Titans.
Another Lions legend, too, by the way.
I hear Jeff Fisher just yelling, Rusty, in the background right now.
You've become a Tannehill stan. We're just going to call you Stannehill. Robbie Stannehill. How about that?
I kind of love that.
Robbie Stannehill. Let's
think this through for a second. In what universe can you possibly believe that Marcus Mariota was a better quarterback for the Titans than Ryan Tannehill? Like, based on what? It makes no sense to me.
I definitely have a brighter view of Tannehill or Mariota than you do, but it's quite stupid, it's quite bad. Phone ringing. I love a place that still has landline phones. That's fantastic.
Hey.
Or maybe this is JD in Nashville. Give me a call. Hey man,
hey man, just letting you know.
I'm up your way. We're going to have lunch later. Like, who the hell are you, JD?
Anyway, keep them coming on the text line. But, man, some of y'all are testing my patience today here on the program. 615, by the way, had somebody mad at me earlier for saying the word program instead of program. It's like, it's a joke, man. Text line's on one today, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Now Viking Matt is bringing up the verpees.
Just a beautiful couple of days here on the show. So you buying into what Trey threw out there? It better be Texas A&M is the third best team in the SEC this year or else?
Yeah, I kind of do. Because that's the thing. It's like, you know, Jimbo beats Saban. He's the first Saban assistant to beat Saban out of a million tries. And it's this big deal. But then it's an underwhelming overall. And the recruiting and all the stuff that's gone on. Like, we all expect – I mean, I know I do. Texas A&M's going to go to Tuscaloosa and get throttled this year, right? Like,
can't wait to see the handshake.
Yeah, I mean, that's my full expectation. But I would agree, like they better be frankly, they better be at least somewhat competitive in that game, and they better have a great season. Like, at what point is Jimbo Fisher just flat out not delivering? I mean, I understand that recruiting is its own season altogether. So Texas A&M fans can put banners up and, oh, it's just look at this recruiting. But, you know, if you're going 9-3 year after year with that and you're not even challenging the best teams in your division, then what does it mean?
It's a great question. I mean, look, the recruiting looks good. We'll see if that fund gets restocked down there in Texas and they can spend some more of that NIL money coming up this year. But, I mean, they've got a defensive front this year that should be right there on par with anyone. Real quickly, what did you make of Trey's thoughts on the Brew McCoy situation?
Well, good reporting by Trey on that for sure. There's been a lot of things written about that situation, but I think he just laid it out there on our show more clearly than I've seen conveyed. And so I hadn't really considered, you know, repercussions for USC by signing this. Now, they may not feel comfortable, you know, saying all that stuff. Are there actually repercussions? If so, then I can't, then I'll retract, you know, Lincoln Riley needs to be, put through the ringer on this. So it's a weird situation. Obviously, he has the trouble in his past. He had the go to Texas, go back to USC.
Yeah.
Now go, you know, and then now to Tennessee. So it's a very weird situation. I would still say, even with all this, if you take the responsibility off USC to some extent, then, you know, the NCAA, I just like the way things are anymore. Like, this is a rubber stamp. Take 10 minutes out of your day, put your sandwich to the side, take your little stamp, and, you know, move on. I mean, that's what should happen here. And I suspect I'm going to guess he's going to be eligible for the opener, but we'll see. Maybe they'll make him dangle for a week. And to me, that's just silly.
615-737-1025. We'll have more thoughts on college football coming up next, including an inside look at Mike Wright from our very own Joe Rexroad as well. Looking forward to that. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Miles joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. Miles, what's going on?
Well, we got to just remind everybody, and I know it's a little early in the morning to be talking about stuff like this, but hey, guess what, guys? For 30 years, we've dealt with surgery, we've dealt with needles, we've dealt with the pill, all of the side effects coming with everything, the lack of spontaneity that the pill gives you, repeated trips to the pharmacy. Well, now we're upgrading the way we treat ED with a technology, not a pill. We upgrade things in our life every day with technology. Why would this be different? This technology is both pain-free, non-invasive, and recovery time-free, and it's called acoustic wave therapy. It's a machine that sits on the skin where gentle pressure waves travel through the skin into the blood vessels. That helps them to expand to allow for more blood flow, oftentimes regrow and repair the blood vessels themselves. So you know what? Ditch the pill. Come to a pain-free option.
And Miles, you've got a special offer for our listeners. Call in right now.
Absolutely do. Give us a call. We're going to give you your initial exam, assessment, and blood flow ultrasound. When's the last time you talk to a doctor for free? It'll be free. Plus the gift we give you just for coming in, that's free as well. All you got to do is pick up the phone and call us right now.
That's right, guys. Put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Join Big Joe Dubin and Elijah Campbell tomorrow for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz from 6 to midnight. They'll preview the big games and then take you through the night of high school football around the mid-state. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz on 102.5-106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll have the legendary John McClain come up at 9 o'clock to look at the Houston Texans and some hot topics around the NFL as well. So looking forward to that. By the way, I got a texture on the text line that says Mariota lives rent-free in Robbie's head. Maybe so. Maybe we do 4 hours on Mariota tomorrow.
Yeah, what happened? Like, did he not sign your Mariota jersey? I mean, what did he, you know, was he rude to you? Did he cut in line? Like, what? Why do you hate Mariota so much?
Well, that's what comes to mind when you think of Marcus Mariota as rude. That happens.
How
just
rude.
A jerk, that guy.
He was too nice.
Yeah. You know, I point out many times here on the program, really love Marcus Mariota the person. He just sometimes can skip some rocks as a quarterback. Not great.
Yeah.
Played well in the preseason game the other day, though.
That's fine. I've never seen Ryan Tannehill throw a touchdown to himself in a playoff game, but sure, whatever. Whatever you want to say.
Speaking of throwing touchdowns, Vanderbilt in action coming up this weekend against Hawaii.
Ooh.
Our first look of the season, Joe Rexrode and Mike Wright. And you put together a pretty interesting profile on him on theathletic.com heading into this season. And I'll tell you, as somebody who's watched him play, I'm really interested to see how he kind of takes hold of things this year and responds to being the guy heading into the season. I love the ability. I love the talent level. I love the athleticism. What does it mean, and how does he translate that to, you know, being potentially the full-time quarterback for Vanderbilt this year? We're going to begin to find out the answer to that coming up on Saturday against Hawaii.
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for letting me, you know, promote my story in The Athletic. I must say, it is my favorite story I've written in a long, long time. It's really good, not because of anything I did, but because, like, Mike Wright and his family are some of the most hilarious and just fun people I've ever talked to. And I did not know this, but Big Mike Wright, his dad, like, I knew that they were a UT family, but, like, he was a tutor for the football team in the glory days, you know? Like, he wouldn't tell me the name, but he got a key guy. He helped a key guy get a B on a math test to be eligible to play in Nebraska in the Orange Bowl. Like, he was grabbing a goalpost when they beat Florida in 98. Like, he had a handful of goalposts, you know?
Yeah.
He got the turf out of the, you know, the grass. He got some grass and put it in a jar, you know, from that day after rushing the field as a student. So you're talking, like, deep Tennessee Vols roots family. Those kids grew up, Joshua Dobbs. Like, I didn't realize it was that extent. And it's just a really fascinating – Mike Wright will be someone we know no matter what happens with him at quarterback. I mean, I can guarantee – like, and I can already, like, pencil in a spot for him on the SEC network right now. Like, he will be – and he'll be great. So if he wants to go that route – and he almost went to Northwestern to go into broadcasting, but Vanderbilt got him, then he – can be outstanding, but he also has a double major in economics. Like, he's a really smart kid who has whatever he wants to do in his future. And Vanderbilt has decided, like, this is your team, man. Like, this is your team. All in on Mike Wright. I think it's the right decision by Clark Lee. I don't know how it will work out, but I think it's the right decision to take a shot and put everything into him. Taking over this team, utilize what he does well. I think you're going to see Vanderbilt's offense look quite different Saturday night at Hawaii. There's going to be a lot of stuff that takes advantage of a running QB. He's got to be careful, but it's going to come down to throwing the ball accurately. I think, you know, and it's footwork, and I don't know how that's going to go. I'm fascinated to find out. But as far as leadership, I think Clark Lee has said, and in this story, he could be as good as anyone he's been around. He's been around some good leaders at different stops in college football. So it's a special recipe. It's still at the quarterback position comes down to, can you make this throw on time right now, you know, and hit it over and over again consistently? And that's what I don't know.
Well, but I look at him from that regard, and if he can do that, you know, pretty consistently, I think he's got a chance to be a pretty good SEC quarterback. And I'm not talking just on Saturday against Hawaii, but talent level wise, I think he can be a guy that makes things interesting for this Vanderbilt offense. Like, I look at their team as a whole, and I still think that the line of scrimmage could end up being a problem for them this year, just based on there are going to be a lot of games where they're just outmatched up front. And if you're outmatched up front in the SEC, you're going to have a tough time. So I understand that. But if he's consistent throwing the football, it's not like they don't have weapons. Like, they've got some weapons offensively that I think could be dangerous this year. You know, what sort of a player, if he gets, you know, more consistent in the passing game, ultimately do you think Mike Wright can be at Vanderbilt this year?
Yeah, I think he could be really good. And it's, I'm with you. I think there's no question that up front, Vanderbilt is going to have a disadvantage just about every week in the SEC. And some weeks it's going to be a massive disadvantage. And that's kind of where, and this is kind of what I thought last year at the end of the year. I thought he was playing better than Ken Seals, but also I just thought, you know, going into next year, I feel like you've got to, like, you know, with Ken Seals, he's much more of a pocket guy. And if you are getting beat up front, and we didn't even know at that time that Tyler Steen was going to leave and become Alabama's left tackle, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have somebody who can make things happen with their feet. And it just makes sense that, and try to neutralize defenses a little bit with some QB run game as well. And so I from what I've seen, you know, I went to a scrimmage. I was at their last practice before they went to Hawaii. The offense definitely is going to lean into that, and that makes sense. And Joey Lynch, you know, just like any coach in any level of football should be not fit player into system, but should be fitting system around player. And I think that's what they're going to do. And they do have Jaden McGowan, the freshman. You're going to hear that name Saturday. Will Shepard, I think, is a legit SEC receiver. You know, they've got some good guys. And Ray Davis at running back, by the way, is good. So I think their offense is going to be fun and interesting. And if he can be consistent, it could be good. It could give him a chance on some Saturdays in the SEC. Kind of like Tennessee. I look at their defense and I just think it's still like it's not up to par when you play good SEC offenses. You're going to have to figure out a way to, you know, cause some turnovers and be aggressive and maybe gamble a little bit and then hope your offense carries the day.
By the way, on the Vanderbilt front, I hope you took our advice the other day on FanDuel Sportsbook. Vanderbilt was a 6.5-point favorite. Joe, they're now up to 8.5, an 8.5-point favorite for Vanderbilt heading in this game against Hawaii.
Well, that tells you a lot of people did take the advice, and the money is going heavily on Vanderbilt. And I especially when it was under a touchdown. I mean, to me, that was a very good bet. You don't know exactly what's going to happen with. I mean, look, first game, new coach, legendary player at Hawaii, on out there. I mean, there's
raucous crowd. They know that they're walking into a storm out there, baby.
Nearly 10,000 people will be just going nuts. But there's a lot of unknown, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if Hawaii scores some points in this game. But as bad as they were defensively last year, atrocious, they had all these issues with the program. Like, you would think that Vanderbilt would actually come in and enjoy the physical advantage that is going to be enjoyed at their expense on a lot of other Saturdays.
We'll continue the conversation on college football. Also get to an interesting development in the quarterback room for Vanderbilt as well. 615-737-1025. Tune in for National Sounds Baseball tonight at 5:35 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds are on the road taking on the Durham Bulls, the AAA affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Don't miss the Eddie George Show featuring Jonathan Hutton on 102.5, 106.3, The Game, every Monday night at 6 o'clock, live from 6th and Peabody. Looking forward to that. Make sure you check that out as football season goes along here. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. John McClain coming up at 9 o'clock. So, Joe, as Vanderbilt heads into their first game against Hawaii this weekend, there was some interesting news the other day that Vanderbilt kind of put out there. They released their Week 0 depth chart and had an interesting development at quarterback. Mike Wright is obviously the starter. We were just talking about him in the last segment. Freshman A.J. Swan listed as the backup quarterback for Vanderbilt ahead of Ken Seals on the depth chart released by Vanderbilt. What do you make of that? And I guess you can ask this question twofold. What does that tell you about Ken Seals? What does that tell you about A.J. Swan heading into this game against Hawaii?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely interesting. And Clark Lee was asked about that, and he kind of, you know, didn't really talk about it. You know, razor-thin margin at quarterback, you know. So it didn't really, I mean, they've talked up all the quarterbacks. And it's in, you know, it's funny because like, when I went to the scrimmage, I could make the case that Seals was the best of the three. I wouldn't make the case that he should start because we kind of laid it out why that makes sense for Mike Wright to start. To, you know, because I think that they need the different elements he brings. And also, Mike Wright is the leader of this football team. You know, and you know, there are other leaders. There are seven other captains. Talk to anybody around that program. He is a next level kind of leader. It reminds me a little bit of one long ago covering Michigan State when Kirk Cousins was not supposed to be, you know, all that good or anything, but it was like everybody in the program is like, this guy is just like, he's just different. He is a different kind of leader and everybody follows him. And it's the same kind of thing with Mike Wright. So anyway, he's a starter. But I thought Ken Seals was like better that day than AJ Swan, for example. Also, I think AJ Swan has a ton of talent. Some of this is, let's remember, both Mike Wright and Ken Seals were not recruited to Vanderbilt by Clark Lea.
Correct.
AJ Swan was. So I look at this as kind of a, it's almost like a leading the way to the future. I think that there's definitely a possibility. From what I've seen from AJ Swan, I think there's a possibility that a year from now that AJ Swan could compete with Mike Wright for that job. And I guess I would probably expect Ken Seals to go elsewhere. I don't know. That's one thing about Vanderbilt is a lot of kids who pick Vanderbilt do so, and they're very, and the degree is very appealing. You know, it's appealing to, now one thing I've heard before from someone who coached at Vanderbilt is that's great. What also happens, and I'm not applying this to the Seals situation, I'm just saying in general, what also happens is you got some guys who are kind of dead weight on the football team who don't care about it, who are on scholarship, who are like, I'm going to keep my scholarship and keep going to school, but they're not really invested in the football program. That has been a problem, apparently, at times in the past as well. But I guess I would expect Ken Seals to look elsewhere, but maybe not. In the meantime, I would also say that right now, if Mike Wright got hurt, I think Vanderbilt's best chance of winning a game would be putting Ken Seals in. Just based on what I've seen, the guy has started, he has played well in SEC games, and he, I think, is healthy now. You know, his injury was part of, like, in the spring, he was limited. I would think that he'd still be the choice, but maybe I'm wrong. AJ Swan does have the look of a guy with a lot of ability and potential to be a good quarterback for Vanderbilt someday.
Well, you're talking about a four-star guy, and he's 6'3", 225. So, you know, physically, there's a lot of tools there for quarterback that you like for AJ Swan. It is interesting to me that heading into this game, he would be the backup. Now, again, there's a lot more that goes into it, and Clark Lea did say, you know, all three are razor-thin margins here. I do wonder, like, if something happens to Mike Wright on Saturday, even though AJ Swan is the backup, are they putting him in or are they going with Ken Seals? Like, that to me, hopefully you don't find out, and Mike Wright's healthy and he can play through the whole game. But if that does happen, like, I'd be very interested to see who comes in, if that's the case.
Yeah, or even, let's say, yeah, because obviously no one wants an injury. Let's say week three or whatever, and you know they're playing Wake Forest and Mike Wright's just really struggling. Like I think they don't want to do the whole look over your shoulder thing. Clark Lee's talked about it. He talked about it last week. Like, thought it was important to name a starter, and like, don't worry, you made a mistake. The other guy's not coming in. Keep playing, you know, just move past mistakes and make plays. But yeah, at some point, if it's just like a game where it's just, man, nothing's working, just doesn't have it that day, it's looking rough, but you're in a game, you know, and you're in a close game, would the true freshman be the pick there, or would Seals? I kind of feel like in that scenario it would be Seals too, but maybe I'm wrong. Swan, he gets that ball out and he has got a live arm. There is no doubt about that. I mean, I think in terms of like upside as a thrower, I'd say you could look at him and like him the best of the three.
Is there a chance in your mind that at some point this year, you know, the injuries aside, that AJ Swan is the starting quarterback for Vanderbilt?
I'd be surprised. You know, I'd be surprised. My understanding is, and I saw a little of this, but I mean, he's thrown he's throwing some picks. You know, he lets it rip. And, again, true freshman. You know, you expect some kind of learning curve. And so I'd be surprised by that. But, you know, it's so hard because it's like Mike Wright's getting this opportunity, and I can't wait to watch it. I think it's going to be really fascinating. But even if he plays well, I think Vanderbilt is at some point, they're going to be what, like 3-7 or something, right? I mean, that's just the reality of that particular team this year, I think.
They're over under a wins is 2.5. So
yeah, I mean, I think that's the reality. So does it make sense at some point to like let the young guy in there? Maybe. I mean, that's possible. You could look at it that way. I do think that we are headed toward probably a Wright Swan battle at some point for that job. And but right now, Mike Wright's got a fantastic opportunity to make it his.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Bellevue Bill texting in says, it's because A.J. Swan is actually a talented quarterback and Ken Seals simply is not, as to why A.J. Swan is the number two quarterback for Vanderbilt right now. I mean, look, I still think Ken Seals has a lot of ability. I was really impressed with him his freshman year. You know, it wasn't great last year, but like Ken Seals to me, he can play. Like he can, I think he's a decent quarterback. So I'm really interested to see whether it be with Vanderbilt or elsewhere, what his future looks like, because I thought there was a lot to like about him after his freshman year.
Yeah, no, I agree. And he's had injuries, and you know, Bellevue Bills. Comment here is the classic case of the unknown being undefeated, right? I mean, A.J. Swan is just this incredible transformational talent, and the guy we've seen, get him out of here. Look, I like A.J. Swan. He does have talent, but let's not act like there's some massive gap or anything. I think someday A.J. Swan could be a really nice quarterback for Vanderbilt. I will agree with that. I would say that right now – razor thin margin seems about right. And I like personally, if I were coaching a team, I would feel more comfortable putting in the veteran.
How do you view the pass catchers for Vanderbilt heading into this season with, you know, Will Shepard and company coming back in here? What sort of a crew do you think that Mike Wright has at his disposal? We've talked about the protection and the offensive line, and that's going to be, I think, a concern all year, but pass catching wise, what sort of weapons does Mike Wright in this quarterback room have at his disposal?
Well, like I said, Jaden McGowan is, I think, potentially going to be a really good player at Vanderbilt someday. Freshman, early enrollee, came in, and he's keep an eye on him. I think he's going to do some returning also Saturday. And I think he's going to be one of those recruits for Clark Lea that, you know, the people are, you know, it's like nice job, you know, grabbing him. Will Shepard, same thing. Will Shepard is a really good player. Then you got people who have been around, you know, you got Quincy Skinner as a sophomore, and Devin Boddy, you know, a guy who I really liked in the scrimmage, Logan Kyle, junior. So they got some good players. Remember Ben Bresnahan?
Yep.
He got his knee messed up on like the third play of the game last year in the opener, gutted it out, but he really wasn't him. Ben Bresnahan can play. 2 years ago, anybody remembers him? He is a tight end. Mike Wright's going to throw to him a lot. And like I said, Ray Davis, Temple transfer, was going to be the starter last year, got hurt, missed the season. He's 5'9", 205. Looks to me like he's about 5'9", 240. But he's got speed and shifty and power. And I think there's going to be a lot of interesting stuff they do, you know, again, with the QB run game, with maybe a little bit of option stuff. And I think they're going to be able to make some big plays. If you mix that in with Mike Wright taking a big step in terms of accuracy, I think it's going to be a fun offense to watch.
Your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, is back. Sign up today at thegamenashville.com or the 102.5 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Coming up next, we'll be joined by the legendary John McClain. We'll take a look at the Houston Texans and some hot topics around the NFL as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.